though the circle of the seasons seems constant and unvarying, the circle of a people can be disrupted, rearranged, forever changed. We try to comprehend such moments of change through the study of history, culture, politics. But sometimes a clearer picture emerges when we view such changes through the eyes of a single person. Rose Hibert shares memories of her grandma, a granddaughter's story, Grandma Sophie.
The thunderous crack of spring ice resonates from the riverbank. Most of the people are still at hunting camp and miss the raging flood of ice, water, and frozen debris as it twists its way through our small, deserted Dene village. Spring breakup. It's part of the rhythm of life on the eroding, constantly changing banks of this great subarctic river, the Kuskokwim. Our elders come to know their river, their grandmother, as she endlessly weaves her way past our village. They spend their days listening to her, watching her, traveling on her, feeling her many moods and seasons as she flows beneath the Alaska mountain range, hundreds of miles downstream, where she enters the Bering Sea. The villagers have predicted the time of ice breakup for thousands of years, and on this warm, clear day in May, they see that very little riverbank is lost. The ice jams gradually clear, and river camp is set up once again. By early June, we'll be setting out fish traps, smoking fish, gathering roots, berries, and medicines, and fortifying winter dwellings and food caches before a winter that comes too soon. The people settle at river's edge and vigilantly tend fire in the fish houses. They depart and return day after day, fishing, hunting, gathering. They raise their grandchildren to learn of these ways so they can know this power that gives the people life and then swiftly takes it away. Dene women, a storehouse of endurance, gather the wood and keep the fire burning. We carry the water and prepare the meals from the abundance of caribou, moose, wild sheep, fish, spruce hens, Arctic rabbit, ducks, and geese. We fish, even ice fishing in the winter, and maintain the snares and trap lines for small game. We skin the hides of the animals, using all the parts for food, clothing, home, and ceremony. We flesh, stretch, and tan the hides, and sew our family's garments of caribou, with fur on the inside for the winter, and without its fur in the summer. We gather and preserve and prepare the berries for meals and for potlatch. Low-bush cranberry, high-bush cranberry, blueberry, wild raspberry. We gather roots and medicines during their seasons and know how to doctor our families. We feed our ancestor spirits by throwing a portion into the fire, and we say a prayer as the smoke travels skyward. Our Dene ancestors, ancient migrating inhabitants of the subarctic, share this vast tundra wilderness with few outsiders. Our closest neighbors are the grizzlies and dall sheep of the mountains, the migrating caribou and the wolves of the foothills, and the moose, and of course the mosquito nation that live along the forested waters. Another ancient inhabitant, Raven, watches over the people from generation to generation and imparts love, wisdom, and hard lessons. Raven stories are told in the Athabascan language in their correct sequence, without a word or phrase missing or out of place. The elders gather at winter solstice to tell raven stories. Now, inside her Enid sits Raven in the form of a woman, and she begins to think, that raven. All night long, while it is dark, she does not sleep. She is thinking. Then she goes out. It is dusk, and then it gets pitch dark. There is no sun nor any moon, so it gets really dark. But she goes anyway. When she's tired of flying, she becomes woman again. When her wings hurt, she becomes woman. Finally, it becomes light, as if the dawn is breaking. Then it becomes like day. And then she sees a big village. As she flies, she sees many people. And then she becomes woman again. She goes near the village, She goes among the people, but they don't notice her. My full-blooded Alaskan Dene grandma, Sophie, migrates to Old McGrath in the early part of this century. She travels by dog sled from her birthplace, Anvik, upon the Yukon River, with her new Dutch husband, William Vanderpool, the territory's constable. They winter travel along the old Iditarod Trail and settle in Old McGrath to raise 9 children, with 50 grandchildren and many more great-grandchildren to follow. Grandma is among 167 natives who fluently speak our dialect of Athabascan. Transcending syllable and sound, Grandma Sophie's redeeming qualities shine through and have a quiet but commanding effect on all the generations following her Mukluk steps. She raises her children and grandchildren well, as we learn to share guardianship of these old ways, honor our ancestors, guide and feed our families, respect our neighbors, and enjoy life. I remember how tall Grandma stands at 4'10". I close my eyes, and I am again on the bank of the Kuskokwim. Mom reminds my little brothers to bring Grandma water and firewood before nightfall. How little and weather-humbled is her one-room cabin, nestled at the edge of the riverbank. No electricity, no running water, very little insulation from the Arctic chill. The door opens. Grandma is standing there in the shadow of the door sill. How much I missed her all these years. Her arms reach out from yesterday into the brightness of sunlight, covered by the knitted blue wool of her favorite old sweater. It's worn in front and at the elbows by so many hugs of grandchildren, berry picking at Blueberry Hill, all the wipes of her hands to dry them from washing and fixing and cleaning. I join her inside her cabin. The wrinkles of her smile and a glint flashing from her eyes envelop me. I drop my gaze to the ground. I watch her tears flow and listen to her tell me, time after time, in broken English, how they took me away as a young child to be raised with the white side of the family, and how Mom cried. Then Grandma rises and leans lightly on my arm and her cane. We walk to the cemetery. She whispers prayers and pours whiskey on the grave of her youngest son. Now it is 1983. The shrewd, black-winged trickster, Raven, sacred creature chosen to speak for Creator, perches just above the cemetery and eloquently eulogizes my Grandma Sophie as she begins her final journey home to the spirit world. This is Rose Hybear, granddaughter of the late Sophie Vanderpool, Alaskan Athabascan from McGrath, Alaska.
Circles, day to night, night to day, spring to summer, fall to winter. The tides of the great oceans in and out. The tides of our breath rushing into fullness, then a moment of stillness. Rushing out to clear stillness. Those moments of stillness as we turn around. Mystery, so sacred. For when our breathing stops turning around, our bodies die. It is the circle that imbues life. We are part of the circle. We are a circle. Earth woman is a circle. Father, son as well. Take this teaching with you. My dear grandfather said, Shanella, my grandson, everything you need to know about life is in our circle of sacred colors, white, blue, yellow, and black. White for the dawn light, blue for daylight. Yellow for the twilight, he said, and black for the night. I'm Arlie Neskai. Hogona till we meet again.
Wisdom of the Elders is produced in Portland, Oregon, with funding provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Lewis and Clark National Historic Trail, National Park Service. Learn more about the people and music you hear on Wisdom of the Elders, purchase educational material, or make a contribution to fund programming on our website at wisdomoftheelders.org. Discover the growing network of Indigenous oral historians, storytellers, and song carriers. Visit the Turtle Island Storytellers Network at turtleislandstorytellers.net. Executive producer of Wisdom of the Elders is Rose Hybear. Consulting producers D. May Roberts and Peggy Berryhill. Co-producers Clark Salisbury and William Ward. Script editor and director Larry Johnson. Writer Anne Morin. Our theme music is by music director Nico Wind. Website assistance from Clark Salisbury, Daniel Ciazon, Kara Briggs, and Rebecca Freeman. Educational materials by Larry McClure. Production assistance by Paul Woodsong, Onisha Wells, Roby Cook, and Rose Hill. Distribution manager Richard Fonseca. Legal advisor Judd Carasone. Special thanks to Native American Public Telecommunications, American Indian Radio on Satellite, Native Media Resource Center, and Media Rights Productions. We will walk. We will walk.